Hi everyone. So we are live today with our seventh episode for the season. Right, this is a team preview, and with me I have my co-host Nehal, FPL Masala. Nehal, how are you, man?
All good, all good. Just watching preseason and taking in whatever we can take from preseason, use that information for our FPL picks.
Perfect, perfect. I mean, I'm so looking forward to this part because, to be honest, I think like a lot of FPL community, we are not exactly sure where to go when it comes to Liverpool, right? And I'm sure this session will help a lot of the guys watching in as well as me to get a bit more insight as to, you know, where to start with, right? I think the fixtures do turn, and at some point of time, most of us will be jumping on Liverpool. But where to begin is the crucial answer, right?
Yeah, I think we'll cover most things on today's stream, and we will be covering what our best assets look like, what our formations look like, so that we can jump into that.
Perfect. Let's start with what is planned for today.
Sure. So what I'm going to be doing is I'll just give you a rundown of how our last season was, some key stats, some stats regarding who were our top scorers, what were our points like, and where our positions were, then go over the transfer window, then how we're doing in preseason, just a basic analysis of how our fixtures are for the first 16 fixtures as blocks, so 1 to 8 and 9 to 16. Those would be likely the areas that we are looking to wildcard, so Liverpool assets can be one of those reasons for us to hit those buttons. Then I'll also go over how our formation looks like in a 4-3-3 setup as well as a box midfield setup, and what we can expect from in this season. Then just a little deep dive into stats over our key assets, and then the major discussion on Darwin, Gakpo, DS and Jota situation. So that would be covered, as well as the best picks from Liverpool.
Perfect. I think we're covering everything that we wanted to hear from this podcast, right? Let's dive in.
So let's start with some key stats. Even though we had like a very low season compared to any of Klopp's complete seasons at Liverpool, in the last 6 years is the first time that we have failed to qualify for Champions League. But even though that was the case, we were still the third highest goal scorers in the league. In addition to that, the reason that we dropped down a bit was also from a defensive point of view. We conceded around 47 goals last season, which is like the seventh best in the league, which we dropped from the best in the league to the seventh best. So that kind of caused a lot of issues when it came down to closing down games. We drew a few games, we lost a few open games. So that was one of the reasons that we saw a decline in position for Liverpool, and we ending up in Europa. And from a fantasy point of view, we were at 75 goals and around 66 assists. The 66 assists includes all the fantasy assists as well. So we, even though we were scoring goals, we were conceding them on a very high scale. So that was affecting the overall performance of the team. We accumulated a XG of 70.79 over the entire season, which is like elite numbers when it comes down to goal scoring records. But then we are also around the eighth in terms of highest XGC conceded, which is again coming down to how our defensive assets look like and what we think from an FPL point of view for that. Top scorer as usual was Mohamed Salah. And even he ended up with the most assists as well this season. Second place, it was Trent at 11 assists. And highest XA was still accumulated by Trent. So just a basic overview of what our last season was and what we can expect. And do we see these numbers declining or do we see these numbers going up in the coming time? So we'll just deep dive into that.
So first observations, playing FPL for the last 4 5 seasons, right? Liverpool defense has been the core for FPL as well, right? Apart from obviously the football reasons, most of us tend to have Trent. Sometimes we have double up with Trent and Roberts and Trent and VVD, right? And have been getting a lot of scores from there, and they have been a set and forget 180 to 200 odd pointer assets for us, right?
Absolutely.
And it changed last season, right? Why do you think it happened?
I mean, lack of clean sheets for one. So even if you look at overall performances from years to year for Liverpool, a major chunk of our points come from, like, for our defensive assets come from keeping a good amount of clean sheets. Last season we failed to do that, and also like an prime asset like Trent Alexander-Arnold last season had like around 2 goals and about 9 or 11 assists. So total we're still looking at a total GI of like 11 to 13. So that alone will never give you the prime FPL points that you're looking for. So the amount of goals that we were conceding with the aging midfield, that was major reasons of concern for Liverpool, and also major reasons of concern for our defensive assets from an FPL point of view, because we failed to cut down a lot of advances through our midfield, and it put a lot of pressure onto our defense. Also, start of the season when we were at the old formation of 4-4-3, we saw a lot of teams using pace to counter our flanks and our wings, because Trent does not have the pace. He from a defensive point of view, he's a decent defender, but he does not have the pace. He does not understand his positioning when it comes down to counter attacks. So that led to a lot of goals and a lot of spaces behind him. So led to a lot of goals being conceded. Also, we were not able to break down counter attacks because our midfield was aging, and we didn't have the legs to counter the counter, basically.
Understood. I
So,
think we'll change this season. I think that's expected with the signing side.
I mean, I hope so from the midfield point of view, but then we'll just deep dive into a few concerns that I have with Liverpool this season and what we can expect out of it, because I will just cover that while we discuss our pre-season details.
Perfect.
Perfect. So let's move on to the transfer window. So we got in two prime assets from Europe this season, Alexis McAllister from Brighton and Szoboszlai from Leipzig. Exciting signings, will fit the Klopp system for sure, but then we still need a few more incomings, especially with the loss of we lost about five midfielders this window. We lost Henderson, we lost Milner, we lost Keita, we lost Ox, and we lost Fabinho. So we basically lost our entire engine room, and now it has come down to the new guard to take their place and stake a claim to be starters. But I expect both of our new signings to start the season, as well as help in the Klopp system. McAllister is a player who absolutely completely fits into Klopp's philosophy. He has that extra 5 kilometers in him every game, which he loves to run around and use that in the counter press. And so that energy completely is important to a Klopp system. Doesn't the if you can't if you can't be a part of the press, you can't play for Klopp, basically. So Szoboszlai is still learning that from what we saw in the preseason, but exciting talent. Very high XGI when you look at his Bundesliga records. He would be one of our prime creators, would be also might also take up a few set pieces from Robertson from what we have been seeing in preseason. So excited. But we still need a couple of signings and one center back at least. So a couple of signings in the midfield and one center back would complete our window.
One name we keep hearing is a Southampton product called Lavia, right? Who is a very, very strong, CDM product, right?
Yeah,
That is
but I
helping
think
him improve.
honestly, from what Lavia is, he's a good prospect for sure, and he would completely fit our system. But at the moment, we need someone who is more of an enforcer than a player like Lavia, who's more of a deep line playmaker. So that won't like completely solve our issues, but then at least would be one player in that position who can like start for us day in and day out instead of us making makeshift players move into defensive midfield roles. Also, Southampton, like his role at Southampton was more of a hybrid between the six and eight. So he was whenever they set up, there was another midfielder alongside him who was doing the enforcer duties, and he was the one who was like moving the ball from transitioning the ball from defense to attacks, basically. So he won't be the exact replacement that we're looking for, but still better than what we currently have at the club. But I'm also excited for Bacicic if we can get him in because he played a few games last season and he looked really electric, and he can flourish under a better midfield alongside him. So exciting times, looking forward to it. Let's move on to our preseason forms. So we've currently played four preseason games, two of them against Bundesliga second division teams, and one against Leicester and one against Bayern. So from what we could see in preseason, again, the defense was a little wide open, so to say. We were conceding very cheap goals on counters. Also, due to the lack of proper CDM in that position. So, a little worrying when it comes to our defensive side, but from an attacking point of view, we were electric. We could see Salah and Nunez linking up with each other, and also Jota having a good preseason. So, whenever he's in form, he looks a really good player. But whenever he's off that form, he just looks bang on average. So he's got those streaks in him. When once he if he's on a good streak, he's an amazing player.
Okay.
So like literally we scored around 15 goals already this preseason. So from the attacking point of view, I am really happy with what we are seeing at Liverpool, but from a defensive point of view, again, we were really open. That the lack of CDM is creating those passing lines through the center, as well as because we are moving Trent into a little inverted position, that is also creating space on either flank. So the wingers in a box midfield are supposed to keep the width, which our wingers are trying to do, but it's still a work in progress. We are still learning what is our best setup and what is our best formation for now. So a lot of work to be done, even though our preseason is almost over. We just have one game to go. Still a lot of work to be done over here.
And I saw, a tweet which said Salah had like five or six assists so far in the preseason.
Yes,
Is it the new role? Is he now the creator?
I mean, from what we saw in the preseason games, he feels like he's taken up as the leader of the attack, and now he wants to link everyone else into the play as well. He's no more the selfish Salah that we were seeing. He will still take that one odd shot. I mean, that's in him to do it, and it's completely understandable when he does that, but he's been linking up well with our forwards. He's been linking up well with the midfield. Also pushed a little wide, not very close to the goal. So that is also creating an impact on his role as a goal scorer in the team and more of a creator, because a lot of our build-up play happens through the wings as well. even in the box even in a box midfield, we do move the ball onto the wings to widen the play and stretch out defenses. So that's going to be one of his roles that he's going to be taking up. So he's not going to be very close to the goal, but he will still be getting into those good positions and was prime creator for us throughout preseason.
Interesting times for Liverpool attack.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but when it's sometimes you gotta look at what we are gaining out of it. Are we moving our best attacker onto the wings and not closest to the goal? Are we affecting his performance? Are we affecting our growth in that case? Or are we now looking to transition away from life after Salah? Are we looking at life after Salah and get in other players to be our goal scorers? So it's a trade-off on what we are expecting, and also he fits into his role in the current system very well. So he's taken it up in him, but he will still look for he still have an eye for goal and take those chances whenever he gets them.
And how did the other attackers look? For example, I think Luis Diaz came, he was injured most of the last season, right? How's he looking now?
He like I always said, if we look at our best left winger, Luis Diaz is our best left winger by a mile. But his role again was to keep the width. So he's been doing that well. Looks very fit. Looks on it. Got his pace back and looks like the same player before his injury. So nothing be lost on his flair or on his pace on that side. So he seems to be the same person that came back after the injury, and
Okay.
he's looked good. He's looked good, but he's not had like a standout performance in preseason yet.
Understood. And we already have a couple of questions around the assets, but I think we'll get into it like 5 or 10 minutes later, once we
Sure,
go a bit
sure,
deeper into the structure of Liverpool, right?
sure, 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 sure. So let's move on to our fixtures. So one second, I got the wrong slide, I guess. No, like okay. So just stats on how our preseason was. So 1 goal, 6 assists from Salah. Gakpo with 2 goals and an assist. Darwin Nunez with 4 goals, two of them a little patchy, but two of them really good finishes. Jota with the complete turnaround that we saw in the second game, no, in the first game. So 2 goals as a brace at the end of the game, as well as chipped in with 2 assists. Luis Diaz scored a very, very good goal, got into the box, cut from the flank, and scored that right foot goal. So good. It was a decent preseason for all of our attackers, but from a defensive point of view, we were still a little laggy. So let's move on to our fixtures. So I've blocked our fixtures into two blocks, first 1 to 8 and the other one from 9 to 16. So from 1 to 8, we face a little rocky run when compared to 9 to 16. So a basic overview of when our eyes would be on Liverpool assets and what's the best time to jump on them. So we start off with Chelsea. Second game week is the prime game week. Everyone is looking for Liverpool assets as of now. At home against Bournemouth. Last year we had a 9 goal run over there, so might be one of those fixtures to target for us. But then the rest of the block does not look too good for us from a defensive point of view as well as from an attacking point of view as well. Out of the first 8 fixtures, I see like around 2 to 3 clean sheets in this, likely at Bournemouth, Wolves, and West Ham only. So from a defensive point of view, our first 8 fixtures are not the best. But from an attacking point of view, they are decent because we are also playing against counter-attacking teams and also high-pressing teams. So that would really, really help the attack. But now let's look at the second block of fixtures from 9 to 16. This is the lucrative block where most people might want to jump onto Liverpool assets. So we play Everton, Forest, Luton all together. That would be one of the best three block of fixtures that any side has in the first 16 fixtures. So if we have a wildcard strategy of game week 9, so this would be the prime time to jump onto any Liverpool assets and attack the fixtures, because we will be facing only Manchester City as a major opposition, even Brentford to a level, but the rest of them are completely winnable fixtures and completely expected to be like gold fest kind of fixtures
Yeah,
for us.
one thing I want to ask is, even looking at the first, four, five, six fixtures, right? Game week five, game week six are obviously stand out easier, right? Game week two, everyone remembers that 9-0, no Salah involvement match, so there's always going to be that thing in our mind, right? But so
For
far,
sure.
Chelsea have looked a bit leaky as well, similar to Liverpool. While they are scoring well, they're attacking, they concede as well, right? Newcastle away, I remember. I think Liverpool, Arsenal were, I think, the only teams which went there and scored goals and won the match and came back, right? And
Last
Villa at home,
minute goals.
exactly. And Villa at home also looks like a match where Liverpool attacks should score, right? So these are not bad matches, right? I know they don't stand out, but at the same time, on first look, it might look bad, but at the same time, I think there are goals in them for Liverpool attack.
For sure. I mean, from an attacking point of view, I don't have any issues. If you want to go for our attackers, it's completely viable. But from a defensive point of view, like if you're looking at someone like a Trent, or if you're looking like at someone like a Van Dijk at this point, I don't see a lot of clean sheets coming from there. So it's going to be an avoid from a defensive point of view. But from an attack point of view, always any fixture for us is an open fixture when it comes to our attack. Our attacking score against most teams,
Correct.
so
Not
I
the
don't
best
have
attack.
a problem. Yeah,
Makes sense.
I don't have a problem if from an attacking point of view, just the defense kind of not the
Got it.
So let's move on to a little deep dive analysis of how our two structures look like. So the first on the left, it's the 4-3-3 formation, which is the standard Klopp formation, and on the right is the box midfield that we transition to. So if you could look at Trent in this formation, he is the prime person to keep with, as well as Robertson on the left hand side. They are almost wing backs in a back four system. And they would be running all the way up and down on the flank and be providing those balls from the wings. And the CDM's role is to tuck in between the two central defenders and make it a back three whenever we are transitioning the ball, and whenever we are being counter pressed. So that is the CDM role when it comes down to 4-3-3. But and that also pushes Salah fairly close to the goal and very close into the box as well, and he's no more the person who's asked to just keep the width. He's asked to get into the box and score those goals that he's been scoring all over these years. But then what it does is, if Trent is pushing up from the right and Robertson's pushing up from the left, we don't have a coverage whenever we were hit with the counter. So it leaves a lot of space behind, in between the right-sided center back and the left-sided center back and the two full backs, and that exposes us by a very long way, because both of our full backs don't have extreme pace. They're not an Alphonso Davies, they're not Hakimi, so they're both lacking in pace, but they make up for it from their defensive acumen and their attacking input. So what that did was, we had a lot of spaces up appearing on each side. Also, whenever we had the old guard of midfield. We were counter pressing and leaving spaces behind in between the CDM and the first line of attack. So that space was also utilized. So the ball could be played into the middle of the field. We have space over there, and then exposing the wings as well. So a lot of transitions came through this area. So that made Klopp change our system at the end of the season to a box midfield. In the box midfield, on the right-hand side, you would notice that Trent is the person who is now where our CDM was supposed to be. He would be an auxiliary CDM with our number six. He's going to play at the hybrid 6-8 and also cover the half spaces in between Szoboszlai and Salah. So that gives him a good area to provide his delivery, but also affects so what the box midfield does is also affects the role of Robertson in this whole setup. Now he has to, since the wingers are keeping with, he has to now form a back three almost with Van Dijk and Konate, and that is not his best role. His best role would be to be that overlapping defender. So we saw a few dip in form from Robertson. I would put my neck out and say it was the worst season for Robertson last year in a Liverpool shirt. So time for a transition maybe from him. Also on the right-hand side, when we look at a box midfield, it's a responsibility of the two number eights, so Szoboszlai and McAllister, to push ahead and join the press. So that would create a little bit of space on each side, and that's why it is asked for the winger to keep the width and asked to come back, track back, and defend. So in this system, all of the wingers are basically wing backs, acting as outlets for attacks, but also supporting defense whenever needed. It also pushes Nunez as or our number nine as the furthest person on the field and closest to the goal, and also is very exciting for our number eight slash number 10, who in this case would be either McAllister, Szoboszlai, Curtis Jones, until we sign anyone else. So they become prime products and prime assets to look from our system. So it's a basic overview of what we are looking at. So in preseason, we played both of these formations. We had the 4-3-3 whenever we played Bradley, and we played the Bradley on the right back role. And we also used the box midfield whenever Trent played as the right back. So we are trying both the systems to actually find out what the system is best for our existing players and how we can change it. But till we don't get a able CDM, so CDM in both the systems is prime important to cut the passing lanes, to cut any counter attacks, be the enforcer, be the destroyer of the team. So we are lacking that aspect. We tried Curtis Jones in that position, but his first instinct is not to be a defensive midfielder. His first instinct is to actually join the attack or join the press and further press the opposition. But then what that does is it leaves a gaping hole in the middle of the park, and that's where all the transitions have been happening in our preseason games as well as in the past. And the ball is transitioned through the midfield and then over to the wings, and then because we don't have that coverage, Konate is not a right back to say. He is covering in that hybrid right center back, right back role. So lot of spaces open up on either side of our defense and in the midfield. So we need that CDM to come in soon and help us with our attacks as well as with our defensive side mainly.
Perfect. And one thing I want to ask, especially on the
Sure.
box edit, I think Liverpool transitioned somewhere around game week 30-31, right, to
Yes.
this new structure. And Trent and Salah both picked up massively as FPLs. I remember Trent was like, picking up one assist or one goal almost every match. That's my
Yes.
memory. It might be biased, right? So, do you expect something similar for Trent? Because people are still checking on Trent, right? We have one of the questions which say, how important is Trent, right? 8 million might seem pricey, but if he's a midfielder who gives you an assist or a goal every match, I'll still take him. If he's a defender who still gives me those points, I'll still take him, right? So how does it look for Trent as a FPL asset?
Personally, if he's not getting the clean sheets, to justify that 8 million gets a little difficult. But then, if he's playing in the box midfield like what we were doing last season, he's going to be gold because he's going to be getting into those half spaces between Szoboszlai and Salah and create a lot of goal, lot of XG from there. So yeah, I mean, I'm still on the fence as of now. Till we don't get a CDM, I would
Okay.
not be looking at Trent personally because, like I was mentioning earlier, 2 goals, 9 assists, 11 goal involvements. His from a defender, your major chunk of the bonus points come from keeping clean sheets. If we are not keeping those clean sheets, he's losing out on the bonus. He's not getting those clean sheet points. So he has to literally be your 15, 16 assist player to justify that price point when it comes to defensive asset, because we have, if it's also dependent on the structure of your team. Now, are you picking a 8 million defender, or are you picking a 8 million midfielder? So if we can keep those clean sheets, prime assets, he would be looking at a season of say around 230 to 50 points at that stage. So, because if he's getting into those places and into those areas, spraying those balls into the box, and if Nunez can get his shooting boots on, he would be getting a lot of points from there. And just to reflect on Salah as well, Salah was getting those points and was getting those goals, and when we moved to the box midfield, because he was more closer to the goal and was expected to also be onto the wings, but from what I see in pre-season, he is very wide. He's not as close as he was looking last season. And it was a clear change in role for him. So he looks like a good asset going into the season, but still a wait and watch for me.
Got it, got it. I mean, a lot of it obviously makes sense, right? In your heart, we have all the have that bias for Trent and Salah's FPL assets, right? And I think we are still
Absolutely.
finding it a bit difficult to let it go. But the question is always between price points, right? 8 million defender versus
Absolutely.
8 million midfielder, and what they can do within a specific set of game weeks, it's something that we need to think about.
Absolutely. I mean, the FOMO is real. Whenever you are going into a season without a Liverpool asset, it is always going to bother you. But then the price point and what the system is looking like right now, we can avoid them for a bit. Unless we are going for someone like a Nunez or a Jota or a Diaz or a Gakpo, we can kind of avoid them right now with that price point.
Okay. And one question I want to ask, because
Yeah.
I've not seen a lot of Liverpool preseason matches. Where is Jota playing exactly? Is he playing the number nine role? Is he playing the left winger role?
So Jota primarily played as a left wing in preseason, but has been he's not he, so he is playing a role which is a little different to Diaz. Whenever he comes on, the left-sided center midfielder is kind of keeping the width, and he's asked to get into the box. Also, in that cases, Robertson is moving a little ahead onto the pitch, and that is also creating a little defensive instabilities for us. But then, how Klopp system works is you basically score for four, I score five. So he doesn't mind like conceding goals when it helps the attack. So Jota was very close to the goal in on a lot of occasions, and was fairly central, as like he was cutting fairly central into the box as well. So exciting asset.
One thing that's coming in my mind is when those big matches come, right? We should not shy away from playing our players there because I think there are goals everywhere, right?
For sure, for sure. Especially in a Liverpool game, you should be playing your. If you're buying them, they should be playing in your team. I mean, it's still a top six side. We're not regressed to way down the table. So, and we will still. Our mentality is still to goal score goals. So, like unless if it's a defensive asset, I would still play all of my attackers in any given game because we have been known to score a lot of goals, and it is our mentality. It is ingrained into us that where we kill the game early, and we still keep going, and till the opposition gives up after a point.
And it goes both ways, right? So even
For
if you
sure.
have the opposition attackers, I think you should play them, even if it's from a middle side. For example, I'll now play Watkins against Liverpool away, Anfield away. I'll still play Watkins, hoping that something comes off, right? Then that's there in my mind.
I mean, Watkins has been that player who's always scored against us, always. So whenever Liverpool game comes around, Watkins becomes prime target for everyone. Yeah, I still remember the hat trick he scored when we lost on Villa Park. So yeah, so I would still play any player who plays us who's playing against us. Because our defense isn't watertight. We always concede goals. It is largely down to Alisson's performances in a lot of cases where we have kept our clean sheets. He has been saving us in a lot of situations from a very defensive point of view. So yeah, so like he's also bound to let that one in. So player attackers against us, it's not a watertight defense.
Makes sense.
So let's move on to a little comparison between our assets. So I just made a small chart from last season's data just to indicate a few key metrics. So the last column is PPM, that's points per million. And the second last column is minutes per point that our players were getting. So let's run down from Salah. Salah was the second highest minutes and still expected to be that in our current system. Scored 19 goals, got 13 assists. The highest delta XI from our entire team, and the highest on points minutes per points. So every 13 minutes he gets a point for us, which is like really good. Comparatively, if you look at someone like Jota in the similar case, he was not available for a lot of part or a lot of part of the season, but whenever he was on, he was scoring the points for us. He was at 14 minutes per point. And when you look at all of our attackers, the best XGI accumulated is for Nunez per 90. So we can still we could still see that happening in the coming season as well. Nunez last season took about 4.1 shot in per 90. So that being alone said, he is going to get those chances. It's just down to him to getting into the scoring books right now. It's all down to his finishing, which. To be honest, looked way better than what he was last season. He still got that mistake in him. He still got that thing where he will directly shoot at the goalkeeper, but now he's still finding the goal. So, all players go through these patches where once you find that goal for consistently over a few games, you can just shoot the ball and it ends up in the net. So He is, I hope he goes through that, and he was looking very likely, and was getting very close to that. Also, when we look at this chart, when we look at points per million, why I've included that is to just show how many points they were getting per million of their value. When you look at that trend, becomes the highest points per million for us, even at 8 million, or he was like around 7.5 million last year. He was getting you 20 points per his million. So when you translate that to another midfielder, they are almost close to him. So I did the similar activity for someone like Foden last season, and he was like around 15, 16 when compared to his points per. So we are actually look when you look at Trent, we are actually looking at and comparing him to a midfielder. So it's always going to come down to that. If you are looking at that value proposition in him, are you enticed with getting him for that? If and you think that we can keep those clean sheets, are you looking at it from that perspective? Then he becomes prime asset for Liverpool. Also looking at go ahead.
I just wanted to recheck, right? So Gakpo played like half a season, right? And he already had a points per million of 12, which means if he plays the entire season, right, there's a potential to double it, right?
Almost like I expect him to be around the 18, 19 mark. But if you look at his other numbers, is so Gakpo in our system is more of a Bobby regen. So he is going to be the false nine. He's going to be the person who is going to be bringing the ball from the midfield and passing it around to his teammates and opening it up for others, and be the decoy in the box to open up spaces in between the defenses. But and that is clearly relayed on to his numbers as well. If you look at his XG, it's just 0.32 when you compare that to Nunez in a similar system. So it's almost the half of it. But from his finishing abilities, Gakpo should be scoring a lot more goals than what Nunez does, because he doesn't require those bulk of chances. He requires one or two chances to get that one goal for him. So I expect him to be around the 15, 16 ish to 18, his ceiling. When if he gets the full season in. And I also wanted to go over DS's number. So he was injured for a lot a big part of last season, but still accumulated one of the highest XGIs for us, Delta XGIs for us, when you compare over the field. So DS is another asset that I'm looking forward to having in the upcoming season. He's an exciting player for us. Again, Trent, elite numbers over here. 11 assists for a defender is really good, and another asset that we can keep an eye on, as well as Gakpo and Jota. Jota will. We will. I will go into more deep, like into a deep dive when it comes down to Jota versus DS in our upcoming slides. But Jota, whenever he's in a streaky form, just pick him. He's going to be scoring those goals. So let's move on to the talking point that we have over here. Darwin versus Jota, DS. Sorry, Darwin versus Gakpo, DS versus Jota. So, what I have noticed over the past few preseason games, as well as over the last season, whenever we had like a very difficult game where we needed to break passing lines or create spaces, we have always played Gakpo over Darwin. Also because Gakpo offers the defensive duties, which was also mentioned by Klopp before the Bayern preseason game, and that's when Darwin did not start the game and Gakpo started the game. So what I see it as is, whenever we'll have a difficult opposition, You can expect Gakpo to start, but I expect Nunez to start over him whenever we have the lesser lower table sides. So that is one aspect of it. Also similar to when we compare it to Diaz and Jota, I expect Jota to start the difficult games because he offers another point of attack for us and point of goal scoring abilities when it comes down to that. Whereas Diaz would be the person I expect to start the easier games where we have to stretch low blocks and open up spaces in between them. So this is where I am currently. So, and also none of them are going to be nailed assets over 90 minutes for us in the upcoming season, because last season we were fortunate from an FPL sense, but unfortunate from a Liverpool sense that we had a lot of injuries, so we could give all of them specific game time. But this season, when we have four attackers all fit for two positions, because all of them are versatile enough to play in all of those four two positions, so. But when it comes to that, we are going to see a lot of 60s and 30s in these games. But when it comes to lower oppositions, I would hope Darwin will be the one who's going to be starting, especially with after giving him the number 9 jersey. Klopp has showed faith in him, and he wants him to take that mantle up and be the forward for us in the upcoming season. But when we are in difficult situations, you will always see Gakpo coming on and starting those games. Whenever we require an additional man in the midfield, Gakpo can drop deeper and utilize those spaces and open up defenses. So as of now, that is where we are at from Darwin and Gakpo situation. And from Diaz and Jota, again, it's quite similar. Diaz is going to be playing wherever we require width and wherever we require to open up closed defenses and to stretch the play. And go Jota will usually come up as the impact sub in those games to kill out those games.
Understood. And so the question will be, what do you expect, lineup game week one, and what do you expect lineup game week two? Do you think there will be two different lineups?
I honestly, game week one, I think we might see Darwin starting over Gakpo because we want to go into the season and know who's going to be our first striker. And with the just because it's a number 9 jersey, I am hoping he would be the one who starts the season. And on the left wing, I always say Diaz is our best left winger. So, but since Chelsea has the back three, there is a very high possibility of Jota starting that game.
And so.
So let's move on to our best assets ranked by me. It's as of now. So I if you're looking at Liverpool assets for this season, I would always put Salah as number one, Trent as number two, Nunez as our third best asset, and Jota with his goal scoring abilities to be the fourth best asset for us. So just a rank from my side, it could be different for people. Just what I feel going into the season would be our best assets.
Understood. I really wanted to understand. I mean, given the fact that Jota has so much potential, right, and you do expect him to start, why is he at number four? Why not three or two, somewhere around the fact? Because without clean sheets, right, Trent falls down a bit, at least for the start of the season.
For sure, but like the only reason I have put Jota in number four is because I'm not 100% certain that he's the starting left winger. But if he is the starting left winger, he's way above even Trent. So then Trent, they would actually swap positions. Nunes would still be our third best asset.
Okay, and do you have Salah in your own team, FPL team? How are you managing?
I honestly have two drafts going in, and I'm keeping both of them alive till the last day to decide. So I have a Salah draft and a no Salah draft, but I As of now, I am leaning towards the no-salar draft because the amount of flexibility it offers and gives me a lot of money to move around onto bandwagons if it comes down to that. But then I just love the man. Like even my handle is based off on him. So it's very difficult to go into a season without Salah, especially at that ownership. He's around 24-ish% this season, which
It
is
makes sense.
almost differential territory when it comes down to Salah.
Yeah, true.
And if you pick him, you are going to captain in the second game week. So you have a differential captain for that part of the season already. So it's a little difficult. I mean, I'm trying to convince myself to not play it from my heart and play it from my head. But then let's see when we are closer to deadline, how things look like.
And how will you predict the coming season for Liverpool, right? What do you expect?
Top four for sure looks likely. I mean, if we don't get a top four after the changes in the system and after the new legs, I think it would also be Klopp's last season with us because he personally is a person who walks away from clubs when he feels his methods are not working. He did the same at Dortmund. He did the same at Mainz as well. So I'm hoping for us to get the top four and get back into Champions League. But that would completely require us to get a CDM before the window
Yeah,
ends.
without doubt.
If that if that's not if that's not happening, then top six again.
I'm sure, I mean, having sold your CDM, I'm sure they'll replace him. It's just that how soon you can do that and what is the kind of profile that you get, right? Like you were speaking about an enforcer versus a ball playing midfielder, right? So those nitty-gritties will obviously determine how well that system deals.
Absolutely. Like, honestly, why I was always mentioning that we needed a enforcer defensive midfielder is we already have Bacic, who is of a similar profile to Lavia, and under an enforcer he would also flourish more and can get to learn the trade a little better. He's only 19. So under a experienced defensive midfielder, his game will only go up. Lavia and him would be similar profiles, similar prospects, but as of now, we can't be very choosy with the amount of options left in the transfer market as well. So whoever comes in, I hope just assures that defense up, so we are not conceding very. Literally, most of the goals that we have conceded were very silly. Like just one pass, and our entire defense was wide open. So those need to be changed completely, and a defensive midfielder would completely help with that. I think that's it when it comes to our discussion. So I'll just a basic summary of what we went through and what a few pointers that I added over here. So the best front three would depend on the type of opposition that I've already mentioned. So whenever we are playing deep low blocks, we can expect a wider winger. When we play the difficult games, a winger who's cutting into the box more. So that's where Diaz and Jota stand, and Darwin and Hakpo would also be in a similar situation. So hopefully no injuries. When if we have no injuries, we are going to have a lot of rotation, especially with the five sub rule. So we can see a lot of 60s and 30s to come in. Another point that I've already mentioned too many times on the stream, we need a CDM. We need a CDM to help with the clean sheets and to keep that defense a little more assurance. We are going into the season with Van Dijk and Konate to be our first choice partnership, and in rotation, a second change would be Matip, and we also have Gomez to fill in. But I do not get a lot of good vibes when it comes down to Gomez starting for us. But he would also be a backup right back to Trent, and whenever Trent has played in the CDM position, his role has been limited a lot to working just the transition. So if we don't get a defensive midfielder and Klopp decides that, hey, you know, Trent is going to be our best player going forward in that position, he's not going to be the asset that would be priced at 8 million and won't be the best asset when it comes down to that. And another point that I wanted to add is Nunez with the number 9 jersey likely to start, but completely depending on opposition. So
Thank
that's
you.
it from us.
I think that covers a lot of things. We had a couple of questions around Salah and Trent. I think you have covered it very well during the podcast. If there are any further questions, do put it in the chat, because I think we are towards the end of our stint here in today's pod.
Yes, we are from. So Salah, so I'm just taking that question from the chat. Salah, not essential, but always good to have in your team, because so Salah is still going to be your 10, 20 goals, 10 assists man. So it will completely depend on what your structure is looking like and how you can fit players around him. So if you're looking to pick Salah, what is the trade-off you're doing? So it's Salah plus a say 4.5 defender, or are you going for a 6 million 5.5 defender and an 8.5 midfielder? So you have to make your choice around those. Is that combination of 8.5 and 4.5 better, or is the combination of a 12.5 and 4.5 better? So that is something you need to check. So Salah is still going to be your 20 goal man in the season. He's not giving up the penalties to anyone. Szoboszlai or McAllister is not going to get those penalties off him, because he still loves to have those, because it helps him to get the golden boot at the end of the season, or at least be in the race for the golden boot.
But we do expect a few more assists this year.
Yes, it will surely go up. Like I'm looking at around, I'm not putting a ceiling to it, but minimum 10, 12 assists we can see from him, from what role he's playing this season. Especially he's built a very good synergy with Darwin, which is the good part. Well, last year Darwin was suffering a lot because of lack of communication between him and the other players of the front line. So this season, it's clearly evident that there is that synergy in the two of them. They both are timing runs off each other, looking at each other almost in every time whenever one of them has the ball. So that is very exciting going into the season. Also, Klopp specifically has always started them together whenever we have played any preseason game. Even if it's off the bench, both of them come together. Even if they are taken off, they're taken off together. So Klopp is so that is also another reason that is pushing me towards sticking my neck out and saying Nunez is going to be our starter, because Salah is surely our starter, and he's trying to develop that relationship between the two of them.
Cool. I think we
So
have covered more than everything there.
let's just wrap it up before the 1 hour mark, so it's easier for everyone to just come back and have a look at everything.
Cool.
Anyways,
Thanks a
thank
lot, Neil. Thank you so much for taking us through Liverpool, right? Giving us so much of insights into the preseason, into the structure. I think it gives me a bit more insight into how I want to or when I want to plan on jumping on the Liverpool assets. Right.
Absolutely.
And for everyone watching us, please give us a, you know, give us that like, add that subscribe button, so that we can have more and more such episodes for you guys and give you more insights into how we can get that important edge over your mini league rivals.
Absolutely. And also do watch our next video. Hopefully it's going to be around Manchester United, I guess. So the next video should be coming up shortly, and we'll deep dive into a very similar way into Manchester United and their assets. Cheers. I'll see you around.
See you guys.